Welcome, Vashon. This is Dove Speaks on a rainy afternoon, and I'm here with Betsy Archambault. How are you doing, Betsy?
I'm great, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, except for the weather.
I know. I know. It's supposed to rain tomorrow again, isn't it?
I think it's supposed to. It's going to stop, I think, October is what my horoscope's saying.
All right. Well, we can start checking off the days here any day now.
And we have a guest. Awesome.
Yes, we do have a guest. Today, our guest is from WISCADV, which is the Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And we are going to be talking with Eileen Stoll, who is a prevention specialist at WISCADV.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to patch her in on the phone, and this works about half the time. So cross your fingers.
All right. Eileen.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Whoa, we can hear you.
It works.
It works.
Excellent.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. The heat is broken in our office, so I'm sitting here bundled up. But, you know, it's
cold.
All right.
And rainy. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop complaining.
Yeah, I know. We're nice and warm over here in the studio.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'll get, you know, conversation's always good for warming you.
Yes, yes, it is. All right. Well, I don't know if you could hear us introduce you, but I introduced you as the prevention specialist at WISCADV. Is that your title, Eileen?
My technical title is program coordinator, okay. Which is very specific, so super helpful.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your prevention work with the coalition?
Sure. So just as a broad strokes, the coalition supports all of our direct service member organizations across the state. So there's over 70, of which Dove obviously is a part of that. And so my work at the coalition focuses on really trying to support local programs doing great work around preventing violence. So one of the first things that we've done is actually acknowledge that domestic violence is preventable. And so that's, I think, in some ways a big step for people to say that out loud. And to realize that it's, you know, it's something of our own creation, that we actually have the power to prevent it and to stop it and to create healthy relationships. So a big part of my work has been focusing on hearing from programs about what they're already doing in their communities and what they like to do, and then trying to help them pave the way around state guidelines and funding, and really just trying to provide resources to help people start those conversations in their communities.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Are we the best program?
You're pretty awesome.
Okay.
For no today, pressure. Yes. You get all the gold stars.
I will cut off your mic if you don't say yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you all, I think, are doing just so extraordinarily well is really continuing to have this conversation far and wide in your community, which I think is just such a huge part of it. So I think you are all doing great, great work. One of the other things that I should say that we've done at the coalition is to really create a framework for what prevention looks like. And again, I think you all are walking the walk on this. But what we say that prevention of domestic violence is that you work on a broad scale, both in the individual, relationship, and community ways, that you are doing four things, that you are addressing root causes of violence, you are shifting culture and social norms, you're building skills, and you're promoting healthy relationships. And I see your work really falling very nicely on all four of those frameworks.
Yeah, I actually remember when you sent out that matrix, and my mind was like, that's awesome. And I actually think that I emailed you immediately and said, can I have that matrix, please? And I started putting our stuff into it because it made so much sense really structure the way that we do prevention so it looks very holistic, because we do a lot with youth and the community and small businesses. And so it's a way for it to look very comprehensive, which
absolutely.
I love.
Right. It's not just going to take one thing to end violence. So it really is. I love your approach of really thinking about your community and what they need and how to work across different sectors.
Well, I think it's such a great idea to have an umbrella organization that kind of can picked the best of breed, so to speak, is where this organization is doing very good at this. Let's take a look at why they're so successful, and then you can spread that. You can take this trade craft, if you will, and show that to other organizations rather than having them think it up by themselves.
For sure. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to say, look at what Betsy has done with this program. You should talk to her, right? And then connecting people. One of the things I would love for people to do is just take field trips to other programs to see what people are doing.
Good idea.
I love hearing about all the great stuff. It's one of my favorite parts of my job.
Yeah, that's interesting. At Just Futures last week, we were also talking about the benefits of us starting to take field trips out and about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it is a really good idea, because we don't usually make time to go and do that, even though the rewards would potentially be so great.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I mean, that's the other thing I think that's different about being the umbrella, like you were saying, Chris, that, helps us, because we get to kind of always look at the big picture, but sometimes we miss the small details. But sometimes it's the other way for programs, that you're in the thick of it the whole time, and it's hard to actually, get your head up for air. And so it's nice if you can work that in to actually go see what other people are doing, and also gives you the chance to sort of celebrate your successes in ways that you don't always get to do.
And you have to imagine, too, that if we have a particular set of problems given our climate and social economic on the island, somebody else may have the same problem. Mm-hmm. And they think they're isolated, like we might at some times.
Sure.
And just to have this, Whidbey's got this same thing, and here's how they solved it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the prevention
stuff. Okay, field trips for everyone. I love it. The other thing I think that why field trips are so great for prevention in particular is that, like, you're allowed to have fun.
Yes.
A nice excuse. Yeah.
So juice boxes and everything, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Fruit snacks, juice boxes, you got it all.
No, I know. Prevention is really fun. We have today's our prevention day for lunch dates with Dove at McMurray Middle School. And we're doing the Being a Bystander curriculum. And we have a big map up of McMurray. And we introduced the red dot concept, meaning the red dot is places where you feel unsure that there'll be violence or picking on people. And a lot of those were actually put, not surprisingly, for adults that are listening, in the gym and the locker room, because people don't really feel safe a lot in those situations. But then we also introduced the green dot, and today we are introducing the gray dot, which is slightly off of the green dot model, but we feel that it's really important to let the tweens know that they don't have to know everything. They don't have to know how to read every situation, that they can look at something and say, I'm not really sure if that's okay or that's not okay, and I might need more information. And so we introduced the gray dot. And
that's great.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that when we did the prevention gathering at the end of last year, when Tracy came and did her lunch dates with Dove presentation, people have gone bananas for it. It's the one thing that people have followed up with me more than anything else to just ask, more information about how she did it. And so I just think the work that you're doing in those schools, I think, is such a great conversation starter to then get people ready to do more of the, whether it's bystander intervention or just talking with their friends or talking with their family about their relationships. I think it's such important work.
And just for listeners that may not be familiar with the Green Dot program, it's where you have a geographic map of an area, be it a school or a town, and the red dots represent an interaction that was unfavorable, negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the green dot is where some bystander made an effort to arbitrate or correct it or tell somebody to correct it. Is that a good kind of explanation?
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone is interested in hearing more about it, you can stream last week's Dove Speaks, where we had Nin Gray, who is one of our Green Dot trainers, on here with Chris chatting about Green Dot.
And the training's coming up pretty soon, too, right?
Yes, it is.
That's on our website.
Yes.
That's on doveproject.org.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Okay.
So... No. Here, take that. I was going to say, do you want to do a
sponsor? Oh, we have to thank somebody. This is one of our underwriters.
All right. So thank you so much today to the Mostly True Vashon Tours. This portion of EOV programming is supported by the Mostly True Vashon Tours. Based on the popular Mostly True History book series, these tours offer a lighthearted history of our islands and show you where historical events actually happened. Along the way, you experience all that Vashon has to offer in the way of local food, spirits, and recreation. For more information and tickets, visit VashonTours.com.
And we also like to thank John L. Scott, founding underwriter for KBSH. Best people, best results. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So, Eileen, I wanted to talk a little bit today about the relationship conversation cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I'm, there are two sets of them. And the one I'm looking at right now is the one that is, I think it was your first one, Chat About Love with Those You Love.
Mm-hmm.
And these cards are so, so amazing. And so what it is there are, I don't know, 10 different cards or so that give an age range of how to get the conversation started. So there's young kids from 2 to 7, older kids 7 to 10, tweens 10 to 14, older teens, and then adults. And these are all age-appropriate ways to start conversations about healthy relationships. So how did you guys come up with this?
Well, like I said, we started doing prevention work officially about 7 years ago. And one of the first meetings I went to was hosted by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And I learned all of this amazing stuff about developmental psychology. And it just stayed with me as like that, there is something there. And so that was sort of the seed for thinking about having it developmentally staged. The other thing that we did when we first started doing this prevention work was I noticed that I would get the same response wherever I would go and say, I'm going to focus on prevention now. And people, no matter who they were, would say, that's great. What should I say to my kids? And that even started to happen with advocates, domestic violence advocates, who'd been doing the work for years. You know, they would say the same thing. That's so great. Yeah, we should totally do that. What is it, and what do I say to my kids? And so it really answered a pretty big question for me of where to start, which was we should start with ourselves. And what do we actually want to know, and what should we say to our kids? And so I was able to really think about that for a long time, and we did a summer camp a couple of years in a row where we invited advocates, domestic violence advocates, and their own teenagers and had these conversations and said, what should we be saying to you? What do you want to hear? And what became really clear from those conversations and all the research that I'd done, which you got to love when research backs up what you already think, right, was that really we should be asking people about their relationships, we should make it a habit. And that the way to do that the most, you know, within the guidelines of what works best is to do it in age-appropriate developmental stages. And so that's where it came from. And then we just, got this idea to do these cards based on, you know, we wanted something that wasn't threatening, that didn't feel hard, and that actually, like, felt good in your hands. And so I think there's something about the design, I'm sitting here with them in my hand, and they feel good. And what I found is that young people pick them up, older folks pick them up. It's just, you know, there's something about the way that they're designed that people find them engaging immediately. And so we wanted it to feel like that, not as this extra thing we're asking you to do, but instead of this is something that is, you know, we should chat about love with those you love. Just make it a habit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're wonderful conversation starters. So,
right.
So let's see. Get the conversation started for young kids. The little tip is kids want parents who listen. Relate what you are talking about to real life experiences or movies the child has seen. Why? Kids this age need clear examples to help them understand. And so that's the tip that the adult gets, right?
Right.
And so then some of the questions here are, what does being a good friend look like? Right? What do you feel when you are around your friends? What happens when you don't like what a friend is doing? How do good friends treat each other? And how do you talk to who can you talk to when you have a problem with a friend? And these are completely non-threatening.
Totally. And I have to be honest, I actually, my kids were this age when I wrote this. And so I practiced all of these, right? And I had lots of different questions that I started with, and these are the ones that we landed on because I did test them with my own kids and with others. And I think the thing for me that was so powerful about doing this card in particular was that it just is setting the groundwork for a couple of things, right, that are really important. One is that, you know, you're having conversations about relationships. That's just super normal, right? You're starting from age two. It's a part of your life. It's not a weird thing because we all know we've been there, right? Most of us probably can remember a time where it was like, dun, 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 let's sit down and have a big talk with our parents, right? That never goes well. So instead, if you can just make it, you know, make it part of your life, then you don't ever have the dun, dun, dun. It's just, oh, mom's having another conversation with me or dad's sitting down with me. So that was a big part of it. The other thing is that I think it's really helpful and important to link all of our relationships together, that intimate relationships or whatever, you know, we're calling it these days with folks, that they're all on the same spectrum, and that respect and trust and love and commitment is really important regardless if there's intimacy or not, and that we can start laying those foundations, you know, in how we treat our own kids, how we treat their siblings, how they treat each other. And so I just felt like this was the nice way to bridge that thing of like, well, why should I talk about dating with my three-year-old? Well, you're not going to talk about dating with them, but you are going to talk about what it means to be a good friend, because those same skills are what will matter when they're older.
Very good.
Yep. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it also,
the other framework that I should just mention too is that the framework for all of these cards for both sets is this idea of asking a question, listening up, and staying connected. And, you know, being a parent seems really hard, but when we break it into those three things, it's actually really, we can all do that, right? That's actually our greatest superpower, is to do those three things. And sometimes it's harder than others, right? Let's be honest. But that is something that I think we can, if we just remember that, you know, especially when our breath has quickened and, you know, we can't believe that they just said that to us, this can be a really helpful model.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
So I'm just going to read a question from each one of the age groups, so folks get an idea of what we're talking about here. So for the older kids, 7 to 10, one of the get the conversation started questions is, what does it mean to like someone? Right? What does it mean being a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? And these are really easy, and there's no judgment, and you're learning about how your kids are thinking about this and how their friends are thinking about it, right?
I still don't know what the answer is.
Boy, and it's evolving, right?
So one of my colleagues, conversation
next
later.
Card, I'll get there.
You're never too young or too old to start these conversations. One of my colleagues is telling me that they actually had these conversations spurred by a Taylor Swift song, which I just thought was so, because most of her songs are about relationships, and, you know, so they just had this great conversation that was like, yeah, what does it mean to break up with somebody? What does it mean to, you know, do these things? And she was nowhere near dating, but they had a really powerful connection based on, you know, the Taylor Swift song was the opening, but it was really asking these questions.
Well, that's
for her,
cool.
It means millions of dollars. I want to break up for Taylor.
So then the tweens, from 10 to 14 years old, what do you think about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend? How would you like to be treated? What are things that you wouldn't like? What does respect look like in a relationship? Again, really easy conversations that get everyone thinking.
Yeah.
Chris,
I have a 10-year-old right now, and I actually just recently asked him this question about, are any of your friends dating? And I didn't use the word dating. I said, are any of your friends hanging out? Do any of them like each other? And it was such an easier way to have that conversation than if I said, hey, are you doing this? Because that would not fly. And so he actually, you know, answered and was like, oh, yeah, this guy likes somebody. And, you know, I think it's kind of weird. And it was great.
That's awesome. Chris, do you want to read a couple of questions from the older teens one?
My flashcard says, what's 9 times 3? did I get the wrong batch?
Maybe.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it's
those 20. Are also important conversations.
I think it's 25, by the way. This is from 14 to 18. Do any of your friends have a boyfriend / girlfriend? We used to call it dating. What do you and your friends call it? What kind of person would you like to be with? What is fun about dating? What is difficult? What is scary? And how do you think people who are dating should treat each other? That's the zinger, I think, at the last. That's the most difficult one, I think.
Yeah. And the parent tip on this one is have this conversation in the car. Why? Eye contact can make things more intense. Talking while you're driving can help teens feel more comfortable.
Oh, very good. So it's not like you're sitting across the kitchen table like, give me an answer right now.
Yeah. It yeah. makes it so
oh,
much
that's
more
very good.
Chatty and social.
Yeah. And this came actually from just, you know, not real research, but just in my own life of noticing this and hearing from friends that they have the best conversations when they're not looking directly at each other. Mm-hmm. Another thing that can happen is like if somebody's cooking, you know, if they're back in front of their kids, that's a really helpful time. But or even if you're just doing a craft or you're, you know, doing something else, that can be a really powerful
sure.
way to just make it, you know, make it more relaxed and not make it such a thing. I mean, that's really the main goal of these cards. And that's why they each on the back side of them have like a game or an activity to do. Because we didn't want it to feel intense, right? We just
confrontational,
wanted to feel like, I care about you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the best conversations I had was fishing.
That totally makes sense.
That's kind of a sit around activity anyway. And you just look at the water with nothing happening, so.
Yeah. The last card is for adults, 18 and up. And this one says, don't wait until you're worried about someone. Ask all your friends about their relationships. Why? It's a lot easier for friends to turn to you when things aren't going well if chatting about relationships is something you already do. So, get the conversation started. How's your relationship? What is working well in your relationship? What do you wish was different? What do you think that healthy arguments look like? So all really, really good questions.
Well, they kind of remind me of the way you learn math is you start out with very, very simple problems. But those basics build on to the more complex. Like you can't do algebra until you can do, you know, 2 + 2, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And these questions become more complex, more in depth. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And
I think that people need help learning how to build their skills around, like, I love the healthy arguments question because I think we don't ever learn that. And, you know, I wish we learned that in the same way that we learned math, that this is actually how you fight fair. And so that's a lot of the work that we're doing. I know you all are doing that, too. And so this is sort of like gets the conversation started, and then you can have further conversations where there's actually information about what that looks like.
And I think that is kind of one of the hardest, I would imagine, to learn is how to argue fairly because, you know, you get some of that biology in there where the testosterone gets going and you get these, you know, physiologic reactions and, you know, the logic kind of goes out the window sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you have a basis, if you have something to fall back onto and say, okay, these are the rules.
Right.
And I think if you have that cultural expectation that you are going to take deep breaths when that happens and figure out ways that there's a commitment by, you know, the folks that are in the relationship to do that, then that looks really different. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it does mean that that it can go a different way and that people can change, right? You could have a bad habit around having arguments, but if you figure out how to be more in tune with what's going on in your body and then listening to it and then going back to your commitment to, you know, treat each other respectfully and all of those things that you value, then you absolutely can do things differently.
Yeah. So let's jump right into the how's your relationship cards, conversations with someone about their abusive behavior. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about these cards?
Sure. So, you know, I've been a domestic violence advocate and done this work for a really long time. And one of the things that I was really good at was pretending like the person who is causing the, you know, abuse didn't really exist. That's not really practical because, in fact, they totally exist and are in our communities and in our lives and are often this is heartbreaking, but are often the people that we love and care about, whether or not we're in a an intimate relationship with them or not. And what I've been hearing from survivors for years is that what they really want is for the abuse to stop. It doesn't mean that they want the relationship to end, but they really want the abuse to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for all of us doing this work, and especially for folks at the coalition level, to really help folks figure out what that means. And so this was my attempt, or our attempt, to really try and start answering the question. This is by no means, you know, the whole thing or the whole spectrum of what we can do, but it's just it's like dipping a toe in the water of what would it be like to acknowledge that those folks are in our lives and that we care about them too. Because that's, I think, really painful for people if you're, you know, if somebody who you care about is doing harm. So this was an attempt to figure out, you know, well, some of us are more willing to do something than others, but I think it's really up to all of us that everyone has a role to play, and what would it look like if we talked people through that? So these cards are hopefully as accessible as the other cards, but have just a little bit different of a flavor, although the approach is still the same. So it's still ask a question, listen up, stay connected, because that really is going to be the, you know, the clue to what's going on and how to help. And so we talk a little bit about how to differentiate between unhealthy and violent relationships, and sort of say in some ways it doesn't matter if you categorize something, right? What we want for folks is to have healthy, loving relationships. But it does help in terms of when to know to call you, for example, right? That
right.
If it's unhealthy, that's going to be a really different path than if it's abusive, where people might need more help. Because the thing that I'm not putting out there is you don't have to be an expert to get involved. But experts do have a lot of great help that they can offer if it's an abusive relationship. And so I think that's an important point. But so then we sort of just go through a similar structure where we have different cards talking about what it looks like to stay connected, what it looks like to ask different questions, and what it looks like to say, hey, knock it off. You know, what are some things that you can do in the moment? Because I think that some of us are going to feel way more comfortable with the in-the-moment stuff than other people. And I'm not going to ask anybody to do something that isn't authentic to who they are. And I think that we can all sort of move ourselves a little bit on that continuum of reaching out and staying connected to people.
You know, I think these are helpful in the sense that in some situations, just even having the first sentence on how to open a conversation is so important. And, you know, somebody can read this and say and think, well, I'm not saying something stupid. This is something that's been vetted and it's worked and it's not saying something I'm saying and will regret kind of thing. It's a composed question or answer.
I'm looking at the sample scripts card right now, and this is just some of the sentences, like Chris was just talking about. Hey, I'm worried about you. Is everything okay? Or sometimes I've noticed XYZ. How do you feel about that? You know, you probably don't intend this, but the impact on your partner is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when you do these things, I feel, you know, weird, sad, disappointed, scared, whatever that is. And these are really easy ways to start talking
to people.
Right.
It's, I think when we originally thought of this, we were thinking what was going to be, or, you know, other people, when I'd say what I was doing, they'd think I was going to write a script that was like, you know, how dare you do this thing? You're a terrible person.
Right,
let's
right.
talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. More,
let's have a cup of tea and talk about that.
right. Nobody wants to do that. So, and the other, what's interesting about this is the same tip as we have for teens, which is that, you know, talking while you're engaged in something else, right, when your hands are busy, or when you're fishing, or when you're not having to look deeply into each other's eyes, like that is so much less confrontational and can really be a powerful way to connect with someone.
Yeah, the general tips on here that I think are really helpful for people are be specific and share concrete examples, share your perspective, I noticed, or I'm worried, avoid you never or you always kind of statements, and also don't use the word abuser.
Right.
And
part of that is we are really good at demonizing people. And so people, first of all, don't want to be called something that we have turned into an evil monster. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't move anything forward, right? There's not a lot of compassion in that word.
Yeah.
Right. And then so the statements and questions are actually based in having a relationship and having a friendship and being able to talk about relationships in that way.
I agree. As soon as you say, well, you're an abuser, then the action that you say is the abuse, they immediately disavow it. Like, if that's true that I do this, then that means I'm an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just say, this is, not helping our relationship, then that's an easier thing to admit to. Oh, yeah, I do that thing, but, I'm sorry, rather than you're an abuser because you do this.
Right, and sometimes...
I can tell you really love your kids, and what I've noticed is that it feels really bad when this happens.
Yeah, and I think the way those are phrased, where you kind of get the compliment out first, I know you love your kids, I know you don't mean to do this, it makes the bad thing kind of a little sugar on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So we are going to have to close up here. Eileen, do you have any last thoughts or things that you want to share about the conversation cards?
Well, I just want to encourage people that, like, this is something that you're already doing. You're having conversations all the time. Why not mix having conversations about relationships into it? And I just think that we'll all benefit from it. So I want to encourage people to do that, and then I just wish for everyone that they have healthy, happy relationships.
Eileen, where can they get these cards?
So we have them available for free download on our website, which is just our acronym, WSCADV.org. If you just put "How's your relationship" in the search box, they'll come up for like that. And then I'm sure that you all have some copies at your office as well that
we do
that you're using as well.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very fun.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for chatting about it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eileen.
All right. Have a great day,
Eileen. All right. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
She was nice.
She was very nice.
Wow.
I love the people from the Coalition.
Yeah.
Super smart people. All right. Well, I think that we have used our time for the day. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And if you want to know more about this or you want a copy of the conversation cards, just let us know. We've got both sets in the office. And I think this is us signing off.
Okay. Well, have a great week. And Betsy, are you back next week?
You know, no.
What?
I am not back. I have a King County Coalition meeting in the city. And so it will likely be the teen council, Vashon's teen council, coming back to do some chatting.
Okay. That sounds fun.
All right. Cool.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.